the United Nations declared October 11th as the International Day of the Girl Child in 2012. And the day aims to raise awareness about the issues girls face around the world. It is a day when activists, organizations, and girls themselves come together to take action to advance rights and opportunities for girls everywhere. And this year's theme is Empower Girls Before, During, and After the Conflict. Well, the question we ask today is, why does it matter to empower girls? And what is missing in the empowerment equation? How do we find that missing link and address the unique challenges that girls face and give the girls of South Sudan greater ability to discover their potential? And our panelists this morning are Kuja Mading Digarang, Girls Education South Sudan team leader, and George Moga, Director General of Planning, Ministry of General Education and Instruction, and also Monica Abul, a student at the Dr. John Garang Memorial National Secondary School, and Sean Collins of the UK Department for DFID. Good morning, gentlemen and ladies.
Good morning.
And it's nice to have you here, and happy International Girl Child Day.
Thank you.
All right, so the moderators of today's panel are myself, that is Irene Lasu. Happy International Day of the Girl's Child. And to start the discussion, I am giving each of our panelists just 1 minute to make an introductory statement in light of the International Day of the Girl Child. And now we proceed with our youngest panelist this morning, and that's Monica Abul. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And what do you have, do you introduce yourself so that we can proceed?
Okay. I'm Abul Monica from Dr. John Garang Memorial Secondary School. I'm a senior four student doing arts, and I'm happy to be in school, and also my parents are also happy to see me in school.
Nice, sounds good. The girl is happy to be in school, and it should be our number one priority to keep the girl child in school. And now moving on to George Moga, the Director General of Planning, Ministry of General Education and Instruction. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. You have mentioned my name, actually, yes. I'm also the chairperson for Education Transfer Monitoring Committee that deals with all finances going to schools and whatsoever.
Right.
I would like to see elimination of gender disparity.
Right. Keyword is gender disparity here. And now moving on to Akuja Mading Digarang.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Irene. And it's an honor to be here on this lovely day. It is important to recognize this day because we know that girls are very much behind on all aspects of life. And particularly in South Sudan, we know that girls are actually more likely to die in childbirth than complete their basic education. So we have to invest in girls. Girls are the other half of the population, clearly. And without investing in them and empowering them, we will not move forward where we want to be.
Right. And now Sean Collins.
Good morning. The UK government is very clear that we want to invest in the future of South Sudan, and the future of South Sudan is all children, but girls in particular. Education protects children, it develops children, it builds peace, it builds prosperity in South Sudan, and that's why we've supported the Girls Education Programme for the past 5 years.
Right. Now, well, thanks to our panelists present today at this special discussion edition on the 7th International Day of the Girl Child. Well, let us hear again from our youngest panelists. You are at the spotlight because it is the Day of the Girl Child. Well, Monica Abul, what are you proud about as a girl growing up in South Sudan, and what would you like to be when you grow up?
Well, thank you anyway. I'm proud of being in school, and I know that in future I'll be someone else. And also my parents, they are also supporting me in being in school. Mm-hmm. They tell me no matter what happens, I have to study hard, and they take me ahead.
Right. Well, Abul is proud of having her parents being by her side and always motivating her to be in school. And now to Moga, has there been enough efforts to empower the girl child in South Sudan? If yes, how, and if not, why?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that there's enough effort, because when we go down the history, we started in 2005 where there are only 21 girls in every 100 learners in primary school. Mm-hmm. But currently, we are 44.4. So that is a great, good progress.
Right.
But again, there are challenges.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Those challenges being?
Major one is the insecurity that creates education to be fluid in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Akuja, our guest team leader, I mean, what are the greatest obstacles to that impaired progress to empower the girl child in South Sudan? And also tell us what you have done to empower the girl child and share with us any key success stories.
Absolutely. The key challenges, Moga already mentioned one of them, which is the conflict, which is an ongoing thing that affects everything that we are doing. So whatever investment we do without the conflict stopping, will not make a huge or lasting difference. Second to that is clearly poverty, and that's one of the biggest barriers that families always mention to us, that they cannot afford to send their children to school. The third I'd mention is the negative cultural attitudes, the practices and norms that we have in South Sudan that look at a girl as more of an investment to bring in dowry. And this is, of course, because it goes back to poverty as well, that they rather marry off their daughter than send the daughter to school. I'll mention the quality of education. And that's a huge barrier in terms of course, learning outcomes, because education is not about going to school and how many go to school, but it's about the learning outcomes when you finish school.
Right.
Then you become a productive citizen.
Mm-hmm. Right, just a follow-up here about the attitude and the culture norms. What can be done to make sure that these at least reduce or even go away?
It's a dialogue that we need to have with ourselves, with our families, within the families particularly, and also the society at large and with our policymakers. For us as Girls Education South Sudan, we have started that dialogue through our programs, which are produced in local languages, because, again, we need to reach the grassroots to change mm-hmm. attitudes.
Right.
So that dialogue needs to happen very openly and continuously.
Mm-hmm. And what are those successful stories that you'd like to share with us?
Definitely. One of the, the kind of the figure that Moga mentioned clearly, where we are now, 44% of learners in South Sudan today are girls. That's a huge achievement from where we started as a program. I also would say that clearly we hear stories every day about, girls like Monica who have, now become very articulate in, articulating themselves and their views and, looking forward to their dreams. We hear a lot about from parents that actually the contributions that the program is making, it's maybe one of the only income sources that they have in the family.
Right.
And that is encouraging them to continue to send their girls to school as well as their boys.
Right. Well, 44% sounds good, but what can be done better for them? I mean, for there to be parity in girls accessing education?
There's a lot to be done. For what we started, again, in terms of addressing barriers around, of course, I mentioned about negative attitudes. We're also contributing to addressing barriers around poverty by doing the cash transfers mm-hmm. and helping schools as well in terms of investing in the quality of education by giving school grants to create a conducive environment for education, but also support teachers to be able to teach better. It's a long process, and what we have started is only a drop in the ocean. Mm-hmm. This will take some time. Again, an important thing that I would say, and I my colleague from the ministry see, and maybe I'm not sure whether you'd agree, but I think our policymakers have made a promise to invest about 10% of the national budget for education. Yeah. But that has never happened since we became a country, South Sudan. So the commitment of the duty bearers is a huge issue and a huge barrier.
Right. Now, Moga, I do not know if you can respond to that. What brought up the delayment?
Well, yeah, as all the factors that she mentioned are in place.
Mm-hmm.
But when I mentioned first, when I talked about insecurity, because we have been in a very good progress before the eruption of this situation. And even in some parts of South Sudan, the gender parity gaps was already breaching. I could remember, when we talk about Yei River State, in that time, it was already in every 100 learners, there are 49 girls. But as of today, we were brought back to zero again because of the insecurity, schools closing, children, you don't know where they are. And that is the issue. But however, all the strategies we are putting into education with the support of our partners, and Akuja is right by saying, education can be accessed. We have two things, actually. The gender disparity and the right of every 6 to 13 years old to be in school. And these are the two challenges we are facing. Mm-hmm. We can bridge the gap. We can achieve the gender parity. But again, still, this does not mean that we don't have children who are outside the system. So we wanted to get all these children into the system. And we wanted to get all the girls into the system. And this is by raising, number one, the budget. The budget, South Sudan being one of the poorest countries in sub-Saharan countries, is receiving support from international community. One of the support is GPE, Global Partners in Education. And the driving machine was that at least every country should invest 20% of its public funds on education. But in South Sudan, where we are now, we are hardly to reach 5% of our public funds in education. And the law says at least 10% of public funds must be invested in education. Therefore, without the support from partners here, now it's very difficult to achieve even this progress that we have told you, the 44.4%. So that's the issue, our major challenge. Then followed by what she has mentioned, the cultural attitudes and whatsoever, and we were real trying, because, you know, when you look into the Constitution says it's a must and compulsory. Mm. Now, how do we evoke that article of compulsory? It needs funding. It needs learning spaces to reach wheresoever there's a child who is within this legal age right. So that's the challenge that we have to fight.
Right. Together. Thank you so much, Moga. Well, moving on to Sean here. As a representative of, from one of the agencies that injects lots of money in support of the girl child, why do we need to invest in the well-being of the girl child in South Sudan? And how much money has DFID injected in this initiative?
To date, over the lifespan of the JESS program, DFID has donated £60 million to JESS. Mm-hmm. We are the sole donor for this program. I fully agree with all of the challenges that Akuja has outlined, the cultural barriers, the continued insecurity, endemic poverty, and those are all the reasons why it's important for us to invest in girls' education. The philosophy, the principle should be that we leave no girl behind at all. So whilst we're delighted that there's been lots of progress, there's more girls going to school now than at the beginning of the program, that's very clear. But we want all girls to go to school. That's their right. And I think we need to be very clear in the language we use, especially on a day like today when this is the International Day of the Girl Child. It's a girl's right to be educated in the same way as it's a boy's right to be educated.
Right. And those are the words of Sean there. Well, it's 22 minutes past the hour, 8 a.m. You're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. My name is Irene Lasu, and this is a live panel discussion on the International Girl Child Day. And my panelists this morning are Akuja Mading Digarang, she's the Girls Education South Sudan team leader, and George Moga, Director General of Planning, Ministry of General Education and Instruction, and also Monica Abul, a student at Dr. John Garang Memorial National Secondary School, and finally Sean Collins of the UK Department for FID. Well, I will be going for a short break, and when we return, we'll be finding out responses onto our Facebook comments and any other questions. Well, you can be a part of this. All you have to do is to go to our Facebook page, and that is the Miraya Breakfast Show. Drop a comment, and also you can send us an SMS on our SMS lines as they are wide open. Just stay around your radio. We'll be right back.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Don't wait until disaster strikes.
What can you do?
Give blood. Give now. Give often.
Donating blood is safe, painless, and keeps you healthy. Voluntary donors are invited to donate blood at the National Blood Transfusion Service in Juba, next to Mobi Roundabout.
Give blood. Give now. Give often.
For more information, please call 0913-505-700 or 0951-505-700.
Good morning and welcome back once again, dear listeners. It's exactly 24 minutes past the of 8 a.m. and you're still listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show and, of course, my colleague Erin Lasso holding a panel discussion there. But quickly, let me pick some of your SMS that have just flown in. James Mayan Makur from WOW say most of the girls in South Sudan are facing a lot of their challenges by being at home and other domestic works at home. They keep them busy without concentration or connecting to the schools. While Malut, again from Dr. John Gereng Memorial University in Bori, say in developed world countries, girls are given equal rights with boys, but what matter here is that our girls are still behind in terms of education. The number of boys in schools still exceeding the number of girls, and this is what we should stop and take all our girls to school once and for all. Now, yes, that's it. Back to you, Erin Lasso, and your guest there.
All right, so I'm now looking at our Facebook page comments here. And Peter Gotanyang in Majong Dut in Block 3 Bor Town says, indeed, empowering girls in education should be prioritized, because if you educate a girl, you educate the nation. And disagree with those who neglect girls in education and other opportunities, as they say, as the saying goes, that men build houses, but women make homes. And that is a peaceful and stable home is where women are responsible. And now, Ajith Deng Ngong from Tongping in Juba says, to empower girls is a collective responsibility of both government and parents, and the government needs to prioritize a girls' education in the country. And in other hand, parents are encouraged to send their girls to school, and the government should also impose the law against early and forced marriages. Although there are some numerous challenges that are facing South Sudanese girls, like lack of schools in some parts of the country, insecurity, traditional beliefs, and child labor, these challenges all need to be tackled by the government for the betterment and empowerment of the girl child and as well as the country. Well, you can also be a part of this. Just visit our Facebook page, and that is the Mirai Breakfast Show. Now, moving on to Monica here. If you did not have the tools you need at school or even a school to go to, what challenges might you encounter?
Well, if I never had all those tools to go to school, maybe I would get married or just stay home looking after the children in case my mom goes out.
All right. And that would impact on your future, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Moga, how do you plan to widen and open more opportunities for the girl child?
Yes. One of the best strategies is actually what has been done by the support of Girls Education for South Sudan. You know, initially, 2 years or 3 years ago, when you go to any school, when you visit any school, you would find that in primary one, the number of girls sometimes bigger than boys, primary two, primary three, then the number of girls doing tall. Primary four, primary five, if you would find any girl, then you are very lucky. Because like what Monica said, they have already gone to the responsibility of marriage or taking care of children at home. But right now, when we, when we created this strategy of cash transfer and pumping this cash transfer in primary five, I think it was a very good magnet to attract, to retain the girls. Recently, I visited many schools in Juba myself, and I was amazed to find that in most schools I visited from primary five, the number of girls tend to be bigger than the number of boys. And the question the boys are saying, now we are marginalized. And then now it's like we have to think about boys. Well, this is in cities, but you go outside, it's a different story. The strategy we wanted to do, if we could get enough funding, was the strategy of supporting the communities in various, you know, areas in South Sudan, sparsely populated, you know, areas, because maybe partners and government is only focusing at densely populated areas where schooling becomes very easy. But you can go and travel widely in South Sudan, where you can sometimes go for 100 kilometers, you cannot find a school. But they are human beings. And within those human beings, there are small children who have, again, the right to be in school, because that is constitutional right. So how do we reach education there? You know, we need to work together with the communities. We need to support the communities. We need to, build the capacity of the teachers. We need to create a multi-grade system where even if there are 50 learners, we have
one teacher rotating and making sure that the children are learning. Because not all parents are rich. Some parents cannot transport their children from rural areas to the towns to look for schools. So we need to look for them.
Mm-hmm.
It needs funding. It needs support. It needs, I don't know what strategy, can we retain the teachers? We have started with IMPACT. That's very good. Because teachers are leaving the business because of, initially, from beginning 2005, when we organized for their pay, it was $100 per teacher on average. We raised it to $200 average. We are the best paying country in East Africa. But now, a teacher is receiving $4. So what is $4? They are leaving. So we realize we need to retain them. If we don't retain them, we'll have classrooms and learners, but without teachers. That's the problem. And that's why we need our budget to increase. That's why we need international community support.
Right. And that would require you to act very fast. I mean, is there anything being done? Because the truth is they are leaving the profession.
Yeah. Well, by grace of God, we got the IMPACT. The IMPACT is now supporting teachers in primary schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have additional equivalent of $40. And $40 plus their $4, they will be making $44. And this is still the least, because Somalia, being the least, is paying $50, you see. So other countries have gone, even our Uganda here now has gone to $150.
Right.
So it's still the least, but we really need to fight very hard to raise, you know, the pay of the teacher, compensation of the teacher, supporting teacher in hardship areas. Like one day I went to Maban, I was only surprised to find that there were no teachers. Because teachers are readily employable
mm-hmm.
by NGOs, by the petroleum companies, and they can get at least $100 instead of $4. And also in central part of Upper Nile, the same situation where you can find the most educated teachers maybe primary 8. So they are leaving. What we need to do is really we need our government. We are appealing to our government. We have been going to the parliament to see to it that they increase our budget so that we also increase the support to teachers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the initiative sounds amazing. And guess, is the project ending this year?
The project is ending next year, this current phase, in September 2018.
Right. So what happens next?
Well, we are lobbying, and of course we're hoping that the government can come in. Clearly, what the donors and the programs are doing is a temporary investment. Clearly.
Right.
But the biggest role is that if the government themselves, as Moga was advocating, to really invest in continuing the project that we started. Of course, I know that donors, and I'm sure Sean will speak on behalf of the donor, are still interested in investing. In that, but then these things kind of depend on kind of, you know, the policies of the government that are, you know, providing the donations. So there's no guarantee, clearly. So the best thing for South Sudan is really for our government to take up the responsibility.
All right. So, Moga, still the ball tossed back into your courtyard. All right. So, I mean, what is the plan B that the government will have to embark on?
Well, actually, we have two plans in place.
Mm-hmm.
One was the current events. When IMPACT decided to support primary schools, we fought very hard for secondaries. Because, you know, secondaries will close. And then the government, by the mercy of God, accepted to support secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we are now faced with the issue of ECD. That's what we are struggling with. But now, as Akuja said, all this support is for 1 year and a half. What next? Well, the support for secondary education I have already calculated. The support exit strategy for IMPACT I've already calculated.
Mm-hmm.
It means if our government can release that at least 10% based on the current economic situation that we are in, then we will be able to have a very smooth exit strategy. That's one. But number two is still it's below the regional standard. What do we do? So, on Education Act, there are some incentives, allowances, which were put there. And of late, our minister has requested all the DGs really to sit down and try to prioritize those allowances, because if we put them all, it will scare our government. Mm-hmm. So we have to prioritize. So we have prioritized. We have come up with, I don't know, you call it white paper or blue paper, it's there. So it's that paper that now, when comes the coming fiscal year, we are going to push for it. But let me tell you, it's a collective responsibility. It's the partners. If we stand together very strong, our government will listen. When we talk about the grants, the cash transfer that now being sent, and the capitation grant that we are sending to all the schools to operationalize the schools.
Just remind us of how much money this is, the capitation grant and the cash transfers for the... Is it for the girls?
Yeah, the cash transfer is for the girls.
Just remind us how much each girl is entitled.
Is it 2,800?
900.
Yeah. Right. This is the cash transfer, mm-hmm. yeah. And the capitation grant is 180 or something of that kind, times the number of learners, plus a baseline, a base amount. The base amount is 10,000. So all when you sum it together, it amount to the capitation grant. It means when you have 1,000 learners, you multiply that 1,000 learner by this 180, and then you add the 10,000 on top.
Right.
These are for operationalization.
SSP.
Yeah, SSP, right. For making the schools run. But what I wanted to say here is that we enacted it in 2005 in our transitional strategy sector plan. But we have been pushing it as a Minister of Education to no success. But when partners came together, we started meeting with them and do all the confrontation together in 2011, then it was accepted. So if we continue to work together, I think our government will listen.
All right. So now, Sean, what are some of those measures that the government of South Sudan can put in place to empower the girl child in South Sudan, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think government needs to fulfill the obligations of budgetary support to the education sector. I think that's an absolute given, that's an absolute must. I think there's a responsibility on government and donors to work together and start thinking about the future. We need to break the cycle of short-term, time-limited thinking and planning in the education sector. We need to actually think about a longer-term strategy. We need to have a future-proof and sustainable approach to education for girls and for all children. And I think if we can do that, then we would see South Sudan as a very different country in the future. Education is absolutely key to the building of peace. An educated population is a more prosperous population, is a more peaceful population. So there's an absolute requirement on government, with support from donors, to actually think about how lasting peace can be built in South Sudan. And education is not a luxury. Education is not an added extra. Education is absolutely central to the building of peace, in our view.
Right. Well, this is to all of you, but again, Sean, the mic is still with you. Some people contend that empowering girls means disempowering the boys. How do we change the norm?
I don't think empowering girls disempowers boys at all. Boys need to continue to be empowered. Boys need to have access to education. Education should be based on equality and equal access for all children. Just because girls are taking a step up doesn't mean that boys are taking a step down. So I would completely disagree with that opinion. I think here we're hearing about some of the maybe cultural beliefs, and I think if we had a real focus on tackling poverty in South Sudan, then there wouldn't be a feeling that some people are missing out. Everybody should benefit from education.
Right. Akuja, what do you have to say?
On that point, what I would say, of course, in terms of the program of girls' education in South Sudan, the focus was, because when we first started, girls were far behind. So this was a deliberate affirmative action to bring girls up to par with boys. We're not saying that we're not addressing issues about boys. We are addressing those as a program indirectly. We are doing the capitation grants to schools, and these are intended, of course, to support boys as well. The support to teachers, again, all, you know, teachers are teaching both girls and boys. So if teachers are teaching better, that's benefiting boys. And one big thing that I would like to say in terms of behavior change and changing cultural attitudes, girls and boys have a role to play, but I think that actually boys have a bigger role in a sense that we know that, you know, generally men and boys are sometimes the, you know, the culprits, unfortunately, in creating, you know, making decisions. Mm-hmm. So they need to be part of the solution. So we deliberately try to kind of target men and boys in our community to talk to them about changing the negative practices and norms that are keeping us behind.
Right. So, Moga, do you agree that empowering girls disempowers boys?
Well, yeah, it's the same empowering boys, because, you know, it's, when I talk about myself, it's like when I was in the primary and junior, that time it was junior, and then secondary it was competition. We actually, when you see that a girl becomes number one or number two, why? What is happening? Then you fight very hard. Mm-hmm. Because we thought, but, you know, we the men should not be, you know, out competed by girls. So it creates competition. That's empowerment. It makes us to go in day and night. And if you are defeated by a girl, you will not be our friend, because it means you are weak. You see? That's one of the things. The other thing is real. If our economic situation improves, we will also have to look into those communities that in a way cannot even be able to support their, you know, boy child in the school. But that's, it needs a lot of resources to invest on, because how do we distinguish between those who can and those who cannot, so that we can make sure that education become inclusive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that we don't leave any out.
Right. And you're listening to a panel discussion on this beautiful day of the International Girl Child Day. And my panelists this morning are Kuja Mading Di Garang, who is a Girls Education South Sudan team leader, George Moga, Director General of Planning, Ministry of General Education and Instruction, and Monica Abul, student at the Dr. John Garang Memorial National Secondary School, and Sean Collins of the UK Department for FID. And well, I think I should cross over to my colleague. If you're with me, are there any SMSs on your end?
Yes, Irene. Yeah, we have some SMS here, and actually, we have a listener asking a question that you have been just celebrating about the issue of the boys and the girls. Somebody say, "Good morning, our guest in the studio. My name is Get Gabriel Atem in Sherikat, Juba. It is always good to send our young girls to school, because empowering girls in South Sudan is our collective roles. But my question is, since government, civil organization, and international organization put more efforts on girl child education, they are supporting girls in many forms. But what about boys? Are boys not important like girls? Also, are they not sharing the same roles in nation building?" This is a question here, and we have somebody online. Hello, good morning.
Hello, is Mirai FM?
Yes, Mirai FM, please. Your name and phone, Michael.
My name is Michael.
Yes.
Hello, I quit.
Uh-huh.
وانا بذكر انه برنامج ده هو كويس
تمام.
فانا بس برجع لكم انه اذا كان في وزارة التربية براجع الحاجات اللي عملوه مثلا في الدروس اللي ودي للتيتشرز ده براجع المدارس براجع المدرسين
اوكي
انه في مشاكل انا بسمع انه قروش بتلاقوا على حسب يقولوا $44 عشان ودي له معلمين ده في دايركتورز بينهم في قروش ده
اوكي
دايركتورز بياكل قروش ده ولسه مدرسين ما بيقدر لقى فرصه عشان مستكي
تمام
فانا بشكر انه اذا كان موقع انت بتشوف حاجه دي في مدارس ثانيه مثلا يعني حكومه وبمعنى انه في بداخل في مدارس بيدرسوا في النساء الفرايدرز تبع المدرسين ده اللي هنا المديرات ده فهم بنون في قروز ده
شكرا
مبروض للمدرسين ده
شكرا كثير شكرا
كثير Michael.
شكرا كثير لك مايكل وديف بيتانا في استديو ان شاء الله هيجاوب عليك في We have another SMS here say why is so difficult for girl child to have good education and other activities Mark Tong from Warawar Now back to you Irene
All right thank you so much for that and now I'll go to Moga directly you heard the caller he's just to our colleagues who do not understand Arabic well he said that this money has been given out the $44 to the teachers but again rumor has it that some big people are sleeping on the money and they're not letting the teachers get access to this money. Is this true or not true?
Right now, I really cannot say it's true. But again, I cannot say it's not true because, you know, the country is very wide. And whatsoever money we send to some individual based on the list of the teachers that were there. So if some money did not reach the individual, when we're talking about impact money, of course, I thought he was talking about impact money.
Yeah,
that's the paying for the teacher. Yeah, let me make it very clear, first of all. What I was saying, 44, is including the salary sent by the government. But actually, the impact is 40. Then plus
the $4
yeah, inflation, which was initially $200, but right. Now it's $4. Yeah, so it makes $4.
Okay, so I mean, so, it's a matter of concern here.
Yeah.
How do we ensure this transparency?
One most important thing is, of course, guiding principles are being sent together. Then we are sitting down. Yesterday, even we sat down, and we wanted to create a very small committee with very clear, you know, TOR, term of references, so that we can be able to manage an oversight role to see whether there are some pockets of problems. If there are some pocket of problems that lead to immediate intervention by someone going to rectify that, you know, and we have the support of the government, that one we can rectify. And money will be paid back. That's what has already been said. Any money that got diverted, even if £1, it must be paid back. And again, the person who diverted it is going to suffer. We are not going to live.
Right.
Yeah. But again, if because sometimes some people will say, okay, money has been corrupted, but in reality, it's not corrupted. In reality, maybe those money might have been brought back because the list, the number of teachers that are in this year were not reflected in the list that was last year. So this money, we are also working for the way of taking them back to pay teachers who are really in the classroom, you mm-hmm. see. Because when we reacted by sending this money first, we reacted based on informations that are previous. And we are doing human information system. We are counting all the teachers that are in classroom and teaching. And I believe within the 1 month to come, everything will be very clear.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Moga, for that clarity. And now going back to Giet Gabriel Atem, the SMS he sent, why is all the attention on girls alone? Does that mean that the boys do not contribute in a nation building? Who can take that up?
I'm happy to take that.
All right.
I think Akuja's already made the point that there was a huge disparity and girls were very behind in terms of access to education. And so any program that we have, it's not to exclude any child. But there is a specific recognition that girls have not had equal access to education in South Sudan, and therefore we've had to specifically address that problem, and we need to come up with a solution to that. As Akuja has also said, there are financial support packages going into schools which benefit all children, girls and boys. We recognise that boys are affected by the insecurity. We recognise that boys are affected by poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, and that's why we're very clear that we need government to step up here and make sure that there's the investment in education that that they've promised to make.
Right.
So that will actually benefit all children, boys and girls. No child should be left behind when it comes to education.
Okay, and the key word is no child should be left behind. There's a question here still to you, Sean. This is Taban Kenyi Thomas listening in from Tongping. He says, what is the UK's policy regarding advocacy for girls' education in South Sudan?
I think I've just stated our policy, which is that no girl should be left behind.
Okay.
I think we're very clear on that. We also have the recognition that historically girls have not had equal access to education because of cultural factors, because of poverty, because of insecurity and displacement. Our policy is that there should be a sustainable and lasting quality education system in South Sudan that girls can access and boys can access too.
Right, and this goes to Moga. Well, he says, he didn't leave his name, but he says, amid the raging conflict in parts of the country, what plans is the Ministry of Education doing to break the barriers that hold girls back?
Well, no child is to be left out. And our strategy is that we should reach wherever there's a learner. Yes, we may not reach as a government, but we have a long arm. We have all over the states, we have state anchors. These are NGOs that are supporting the guest program, and we are using them to reach where there are learners. That's number one. Number two is what we cannot control is in terms of insecurity. But we are still advocating that, you know, even if where you run, if there's a big tree that you can set learning, we will highly welcome it and will support it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank
and we
you.
Are using classes even for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Moga Charlton Yeis, and he's asking Akuja. Well, he says, well, you are a model and an advocate for girls' education in South Sudan. What ingredients would you add to make the education recipe more exciting for girls in South Sudan?
Well, more exciting. That's a difficult one. I think, you know, the issue, my concern at this point, of course, that, you know, if we talk about an ideal situation, we will try to, of course, get teachers, you know, to really be trained on the kind of the core basics of actually how to deliver lessons and make lessons interactive. That is very important. We know there's a huge, you know, kind of problem in terms of, you know, the teachers that are in our schools, unfortunately, not their fault, but because of the many years of war and no investment in education, our teachers are not trained. Very, very few teachers are trained. And unfortunately, then that creates a situation where actually not the right people are in the classrooms. And the lessons are, I'm sure, I mean, maybe Monica can tell us her experience. Mm. I don't think the teaching methods in our classrooms these days are as exciting as we would like it to be.
Right. So Monica should tell us, how are lessons in class? Are you always looking forward to attending a lesson, or are you just not again?
There are some teachers who do, but always, wherever they are, they don't make the lessons interesting.
Okay, by boring, what do you mean?
They may come to classes and they start teaching, they don't explain what you would expect from them.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a marathon.
Yeah, even sometimes the classrooms may be squeezed, no desk, you may stand up. That one even makes it so bad.
All right, so you heard it from the student herself. All right, so it's just 8 minutes to the top of the hour, and now we are trying to wrap up the panel right now. So now, Sean, education is just one piece of a puzzle, and access to education is one thing, but ensuring quality education is another. So what must be done to ensure that the girl child has access to quality education as a tool of empowerment?
I think the key here is investment, is commitment from government with support from donors to develop the education system in South Sudan. As Moga said earlier on, there's no point having a classroom full of children if there's no teacher there, if the teacher is not properly trained. So there needs to be development in all aspects of the education system. That will take time, but that will also take significant investment and commitment.
All right, so this is to all of you. What next, and how do we keep the girl child on the agenda, not just today, but every day? Akuja.
Yes, today is the kickoff of a year-long process of advocate for girls, for girls' education, not only education, in fact, but to empower girls across the board. Their access to health also is important. Their access to skills, the access to economic opportunities. So we all have a role to play. And I would like to say this as a South Sudanese, let's not always expect that the government will solve our problems or the donors or NGOs will solve our problems. We all have a role to play.
Right, and the saying still stands, do not ask what my government or country can do to me, but ask yourself what you can do to your country. Now, Moga, what next, and how do we keep the girl child on the agenda, not just today, but every day?
Yes, the most important thing is really we don't want to make education boring. And by not making it boring, it means we have to have quality education. And by having quality education means we really need to improve the situation of our jurisdictions in terms of training and in terms of remuneration. That is one strategy that can retain our girls when they are in school, because if, like my daughter said here, if it's boring, at the end of the day, the girl will say, after all, you know, that's the problem, that's my fear. Mm-hmm. And then the next also is that we need to reach those whom are unreachable now. Because South Sudan is very big, with sparsely populated population everywhere. But when you combine them together, they almost make maybe 50% of the population. We are not reaching them. So we have to reach them so that we bring all those girls. And that is the most difficult thing, because those are the communities that are rooted maybe in that tradition of thinking school is not for girls.
All right.
So we need to...
Thank you so much. Yeah. Monica, what do you think should be done to retain you in school?
I think that cash transfer.
Mm-hmm. So there should be more cash transfers.
It's enough for me to stay in school, because I may get my own needs. If I get it, then I buy books, I buy pads and shoes and other things that I could need. So more cash transfer.
All right.
Yeah.
So the donor just listened to that. So more cash transfers.
More cash transfers.
I've heard that.
All right. So back to you, Sean. What do you think?
I think Akuja summarized it very well. I think there is, whilst there's a responsibility on government and a responsibility on donors, there's also a responsibility on communities and individuals as well, to keep girls in mind, to keep the importance of girls going to school in mind. I think that the alleviation of poverty and increased opportunities actually helps girls remain in school, actually helps families to sustain themselves. And I think that we need to stop marginalising the education sector, because I think in a protracted crisis, that can happen. Education can come sometimes way down the list when there are humanitarian concerns, when there are problems with healthcare, etc. Mm-hmm. But education helps to build the future, so don't forget education.
All right, quickly, looks like time is not my best ally. So in just less than a minute, what are your final remarks? Yes, Sean.
I think those are my final remarks. Don't forget education. Make sure that it continues to develop, and that everybody has a responsibility to make sure that girls who are part of the future here continue to go to school.
Thank you so much. And Moga, please.
I think my remark is real, that we need to increase support to education so that by 2021-22, that is the end of our strategic sector plan, which says clearly that gender disparities removed. We need to get rid of it so that we don't beat the tail.
Right. Clear. Thank you so much, Moga. And now Akuja.
South Sudanese girls are one of your biggest investments. Invest in them and you'll never regret it. And have a productive girl day today.
All right. Thank you so much. And now to my sister, Monica.
What a boy can do, a girl can also do it.
I like that. What a boy can do, a girl can also do that. Well, thank you so much. It's just coming up to 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Well, engagement and participation of the girl child, allowing the voice of the girl to rise, is what must inspire us to get on track, make this happen. And as I end this panel discussion, I must emphasize that political will is critical to make this happen. And we need the civil society, the UN. And I also hope that all our listeners will go forward making sure that the rights of the young girls are recognized for the betterment of the nation. And thanks all for your participation. I am very pleased that we got this opportunity for this conversation. Thank you so much. Also thank you, listener, for being a part of the show from 7 a.m. until the hour that we are concluding. My name is Irene Lasu. Do make sure you catch me tomorrow, same place, same time. Back to you, my friend there.
Thank you very much, Irene Lasu, and all our guests there in the studio for the nice panel discussion. That brings us only to 2 minutes to the top of the hour, or 1 minute actually, to the top of the hour. Remember, the news is coming to you next. This is Radio Miraya Breakfast Show. My name is Captain Samuel Power. Listen to this program once again tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Bye bye for now. Stay blessed.
Stella, aren't you coming to school today?
No, Esther. My father is marrying me off to a rich old man, and I can't say no to him. I cannot continue with school. My father prefers cows to my education.
Stella, you're only 16 years. You have a right to education. Do not kill the life of your daughter by selling her into marriage. Our children need a bright future. It is our duty to support our children at school.
This message is from South Sudan Peace and Reconciliation Commission with support from United Nations Development Programme, UNDP.